This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the show. Carrington here. Rob is here. Rob won the last segment. We'll try to move on. We'll get to Circle of Trust. I have a hot take that I've been sitting on that I'm sure will upset you. That's just kind of how the show is. I give an opinion, you guys get mad, and we just repeat process every day at 2 o'clock. That's just kind of how the show works. But before we do that, Rob, I would like to talk about what is becoming our favorite thing to debate on this show. Everybody has their thing that they just love to debate. You know what I love debating? Man, I just love to debate. Who's going to the Hall of Fame? I don't know what it is. It's something about it I just really like. Now, I don't have enough time to get through all of the people. There are 25 people, Rob, that are up for first ballot when it comes to this year on the Hall of Fame. Not first ballot, but up for the Modern Award. So some of those guys are Eli Manning, Luke Kuechly, Steve Smith, Earl Thomas, Adam Vinatieri, a handful of guys that you know. Should Eli Manning be a first ballot Hall of Famer, Rob? Because I think we all can agree that Eli Manning is eventually going to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You might disagree, you might agree, but when you have two championships, you won Super Bowl MVP multiple times, and you won both of them against Tom Brady, and you also are a part of the first family of football, you guys will be tired of Peyton Manning this summer. Because once they announce that he is going to get in, Peyton's going to be there, Archie's going to be there, Arch, who's going to be the starting quarterback at Texas next year, is going to be there. Oh, they are going to have a fun-filled weekend, and we already know what the Hall of Fame game is going to be. It's going to be the Colts and the Giants. You can see that coming a mile away. This is my argument against Eli Manning, Rob, at least going in as a first-ballot Hall of Famer. I know he's going to get in. In their prime, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Kurt Warner or Eli Manning? I'm talking the best version of Eli, the best version of Kurt Warner. They played in the exact same era. They played in the exact same conference. Who was a better quarterback at their absolute peak? Because to me, the answer seems very simple. Kurt Warner was better than Eli Manning. It took Kurt Warner a handful of years. He had to wait a little bit. So if Kurt Warner had to wait, even though we all know he was better than Eli Manning, then Eli shouldn't get in on the first try. Make Eli wait 2-3 years, and then he can eventually get in. What? Eli's a first ballot Hall of Famer? No, I can't vote Eli in just yet. Eli's got to wait a couple of years. Do you think Eli's going to go in on the first ballot? Should he go in on the first ballot?
So that's two different questions. He is. It's just going to be upsetting. He's going to be a first ballot. He shouldn't be. If we're being honest, he's a fringe Hall of Famer, period.
I'm not even sure if Eli Manning was one of the 10 best quarterbacks of his own time.
Nothing about Eli Manning's resume other than Super Bowl says Hall of Famer, but he did it in New York against the Patriots. It's going to happen. He is going to be the latest in the Troy Aikman lineage of you won Super Bowls, so welcome on in. Eli, Joe Namath, Troy Aikman. They should have a separate wing called. We had to put you in here. We had no other options.
Yeah, I guess for me, and I understand I'm going to lose this argument. Like, if you're a Hall of Famer, don't you have to be the best at something? Like, he made the Pro Bowl 4 times. All right, fine. He played 15 years. He made the Pro Bowl 4 times. He was never first-team All-Pro. He was never second-team All-Pro. He never led the NFL in touchdown passes. He never led the NFL in yards. He never won regular season MVP. Eli Manning was just great. I don't know when things started to turn, and I'm sure if we really went back and we looked at all the Hall of Fame players, we could find, hey, this is the time they just let a good player into the Hall of Fame. Eli's accolades are incredible, and I get it. If you're putting him in because of his couple of postseason performances, that makes sense to me. But Eli Manning gets to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Do you guys know the quarterbacks that are first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks? And we're going to put Eli Manning in that category? We can't do that. We got to push back on something here. You know who goes in on first ballot? Peyton, his brother, goes in first ballot. You know who goes in first ballot? Dan Marino, Joe Montana, John Elway, Tom Brady. Those are the guys that get in on the first ballot. Eli's in that conversation. You guys can't convince me that Eli Manning was better than Phillip Rivers. I'm sorry. I know Phillip has this stigma about it. We watch football during the same time frame. Phillip Rivers was better at playing football than Eli Manning was. He was. He was better. He was better at playing football than him. We could go back and look at a random year of Eli Manning playing in the NFL. I'm not sure if he was even one of the 10 best quarterbacks of the 2000s, and he gets to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Something about that's not right. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have peak Russell Wilson, or would you rather have Eli Manning? Was Eli Manning a better quarterback than prime Russell Wilson was?
No, it was Russell Wilson. I'm looking at Eli Manning's stats right now just for fun. It make me angry. Oh my, he doesn't belong in at all. He's going to get in. So it's a waste of my breath and your time and listeners, whatever. But there is nothing about Eli Manning's resume that says he should be in Canton. How many Pro Bowls do you think Eli Manning made in his career?
4.
By the way, he came in the league in 04 and played for 15 years. He made it twice. He made it 4 times.
Yeah.
He was never an all pro. The only time he ever led the league in anything was interceptions. He had 3 20-plus interception seasons. But, you know, he's a Manning, and he beat Tom Brady, and he played for the Giants while doing it, so we've got to put him in. He should be a lock for the Giants Hall of Fame, not Canton.
Yeah, I don't get it. Who else do you think from this generation is going to get in? Because this is actually like we're getting to the point with Hall of Fame that these are all guys that we remember. So Eli's up, Luke Kuechly, Steve Smith. I don't think that Steve Smith's a Hall of Famer. If Steve Smith gets into the Hall of Fame, we're just letting any. If you were okay at wide receiver, we're letting you in. I still don't understand why Torrey Holt's not in the Hall of Fame. He's
Torrey
the
Holt
one that continues
in.
To be yep. like that really jumps out of this list to me. I don't understand why Torrey Holt is not in there. All of the metrics from that time frame, I think that Torrey Holt has met them. I think that Torrey Holt should be in. I'm looking at this. I think that Antonio Gates should get in finally. I mean, this is going to be a pretty decent class. If I had to guess, this is what I think the class is going to be. I think it's going to be Eli. I do think that this is finally the year that Torrey Holt gets in. I think that Antonio Gates gets in this year.
Jared Allen.
Interesting. You got Jared Allen as a Hall of Famer.
Jared Allen's a Hall of Famer. He's also waited his turn. He's been you said who gets in this class. He's come close twice. That's kind of how it works. He eventually gets in. I agree with you on Holt. I begrudgingly agree with you on Manning. I think we see Jared Allen make the Hall this year.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I mean, you could make a pretty strong argument for Jared Allen. First team All-Pro 4 separate times. He led the NFL in sacks a couple of years. Yeah, you could probably make a Jared Allen argument for why Jared Allen should be in. I'm looking at some of the guys. I mean, the problem you're just going to run is like now James Harrison is up. Now, you know, you're looking at some of the other guys that are up there. Vince Wilfork is on the list. Like you're now running into some really, really great defensive players that if you were Jared Allen, you've had a couple of chances to get in. Maybe there was an easier class for you to get in than this one. I think this is going to be a pretty difficult class for some of the, I would say, on-the-fringe guys to get into.
I know we're up against a break. Real quick. Vinatieri. Not this class, but in general. He's on the list. Adam Vinatieri, yes or no?
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Luke Kuechly, yes or no?
I don't think he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I do think that Luke Kuechly should be in. I mean, if they put Patrick Willis into the Hall of Fame, can't tell me that Patrick Willis is a Hall of Famer and then tell me why Luke Kuechly shouldn't be.
Vince Wilfork.
Yes.
Interesting.
Not first ballot, though. I would not put him in first ballot. I do think Vince Wilfork gets in.
Last one I think is like a coin flip. James Harrison.
I would say no on James Harrison.
We're on the same page with Harrison.
I think James Harrison's a great player. I think he's a little bit more myth than anything.
I agree. I think his workout regimen, steroids, really helped him out more than anything else. But Vince Wilfork, I would say, is a no because there's no metric to judge him by. You can't say, man, I feel like he was really good on those Patriot teams, but no stat indicates he was a dominant player.
The argument for James Harrison's going to be is that he won Defensive Player of the Year. And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the list right now, and every player that you would say since James Harrison has won the award, you would argue is a Hall of Famer. Now, I mean, Gilmore won it with the Patriots that one year. No one's arguing that he's a Hall of Famer. And the only other guy that's probably, Khalil Mack shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, we're talking about since 2000. If I go through the list and name the guys that won Defensive Player of the Year, majority of these guys are Hall of Famers. That's going to probably be the argument to get James Harrison in. He also played for Pittsburgh, so he played for a history of field organization. There's definitely an argument for James Harrison. I think this is going to be a really fun list. We're getting to the point that most of these guys, like these are the guys that we grew up kind of watching. I think the Hall of Fame debates are going to be very fun over the next few years or so as more of these guys start to get their names up there. So coming up, let's get to the Circle of Trust, Rob. Let's get back to talking a little bit of college football. And we have just 2 weeks left in the regular season. Who do you like? Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. For those of you that missed it, let me go through very quickly what the college football projected bracket is. So how they're doing it is they have a first round of games that is between the 5 through 12 seed. They then advance and they play the top four seeds who get a bye. Those four teams are currently Oregon at number one, Texas at two, Miami at three, and Boise State at four. The 5 through 12, Ohio State is 5, Penn State is 6, Indiana is 7, Notre Dame is 8. They would play Alabama, who's the 9 seed, Ole Miss is the 10 seed, Georgia is the 11th seed, and BYU is the 12th seed. I don't understand how we have a system that would allow Boise State to be an automatic qualifier. And not just that, but be a team that gets a bye in the college football playoff. Now, if you were telling me that you want to keep a spot reserved for the teams like Boise State, I don't really have that much of a problem with it. We certainly have had years where a team was undefeated from one of those conferences and you wanted to see them get their shot against the big dog. So if that's the system that you've created, I don't have much problems with you including one team from the Mountain West or the Atlantic or the American or whatever other conference that you want to have. Let's go through the wins very quickly for Boise State. Georgia Southern, Portland State, Washington State, Utah State. I mean, they're beating all the states. We're just going through the states. Hawaii, UNLV, San Diego State, Nevada, and San Jose State. That's one of the four best teams in college football. The system is broken. I don't know how it's broken because you guys just put it together. We barely even started playing with the thing. We haven't even used it yet. But no, it is absolutely broken. If you were telling me that that team can be one of the four best teams in college football and get a bye. But that is what we have here. So that is what has inspired this week's.
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the Burns family circle of trust. See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
All right. Want to decide as we are two final weeks left in the college football regular season. Let's determine who is in your circle of trust. Let's start with Indiana. I think they are the most, quote, controversial team in college football. They do not have a great resume, but they are currently undefeated and they are sitting in a good spot in the college football playoff. There is really one thing left for them to do. If they beat Ohio State, it's not even a question anymore. Indiana is going to make the college football playoff. But if they lose to Ohio State on Saturday, and let's say they get blown out in that scenario, there is going to be a big argument ending the season about whether or not Indiana should be included in the college football playoff. Rob, let's say in this scenario that Indiana gets blown out. Let's say they lose 41-17, which is very much within the realm of possibility. But before we even get there, are you putting Indiana inside your circle of trust, which is brought to you by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City, now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They got mouthwatering appetizers, juicy burgers, steaks, pasta, and more. Wash it down with your favorite ice-cold beverage and catch the game. Maybe you'll catch the playoff there.
They are inside the circle. They're inside the circle with a loss. They're inside the circle now. Winning has to matter. It just does. Winning is hard in football. That was the theme of the text line after the Chiefs lost to the Bills. Hey, winning's hard. Sometimes you lose. Indiana has not lost yet. There are teams like Boise State who play no ones and still take an L on their schedule. There are teams like Penn State who also have a cake schedule and take L's. Texas, cake schedule, taken an L. A&M has a pretty soft schedule. They've taken an L. I can name a lot of teams across the college football landscape that have a schedule that skews easy, and yet they've taken L's. Colorado would be in this category. They have a relatively easy schedule. They have taken multiple L's. Winning has a value. Indiana, inside my circle of trust.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit unfair towards Colorado to say that their schedule has been easy.
They haven't played anyone in the top of the Big 12 other than K-State. They avoided Iowa State. They avoided BYU. They avoided Arizona State. I mean, they don't play themselves, but that's the top four. Then you get to that K-State, West Virginia, BYU tier. They played K-State. They lost. They played BYU. They won on a Hail Mary. They have played the softer part of the Big 12.
I don't disagree with you on that part, but where I think Colorado is a little bit different than Indiana is, I mean, Colorado really only has one choice. Colorado has to win out in order to make the college football playoff. And I think you would agree, if Colorado wins out, they deserve to be in the college football playoff. Like, if they run through this schedule, now they play on the road against Kansas. I know Kansas doesn't have a good record, but Kansas has certainly proven itself to be one of the better teams. They play Oklahoma State, a team that feels like they have quit on the season. And then they'll play BYU. If you win that game, I think BYU deserves to go to the playoff, and I think Colorado used to be. That's what we used to call playoff games. Hey, this team moves on, this team doesn't move on. Both of those teams are not making the college football playoff. There's only going to be one team from from the Big 12 that that represents the conference. So I think they will have earned it. The thing with Indiana that I think makes it pretty interesting is if Indiana loses this game, they're not going to the Big 12 champ or the Big 10 championship game. That's going to be a rematch between Oregon and Penn State. I would also or Oregon and Ohio State. Penn State is probably going to be in the mix too. I mean, we're talking about Indiana being maybe the fourth best team in the Big 10, and that team we just think is a lock to make the college football playoff, despite not really, I would say, earning it on the field the way that you're asking the SEC winner to do, the way that you're asking the Big 12 winner to do. And if your resume is not going to be there, what's really going to be the thing? So I would put Indiana actually out of my circle of trust. I think the committee is looking for a reason to put them out of the college football playoff. If they are not very competitive against Ohio State or win, if they put themselves in a position where they get their doors blown off on Saturday, they are going on the road to Ohio State. They have to play well. They have to make a convincing argument for themselves. Or I think the committee is looking for a reason to put an extra SEC team in there.
Let me ask you a question. Because you said it shouldn't be just a guaranteed lock. The fourth best team in the Big Ten makes it. I would probably say they're fourth. Them and Penn State seems like a toss-up. Let's call them 3A, 3B, the fourth best. You can't then auto put in the fourth best team in the SEC, can you? Because that would mean that you have Ole Miss just locked in, done. Or maybe that's Tennessee. I don't know who you view, or Bama. One of those teams is the fourth best in the SEC, and they've taken losses. Every team I just mentioned has a loss in their schedule to a worse team than Ohio State. That becomes a thing. Vanderbilt's plucky, but they're worse than Ohio State if you're comparing a two-loss team, Bama, to a one-loss Indiana. Ole Miss has a loss to Kentucky. Kentucky is worse than Ohio State if you're comparing a plucky two-loss Ole Miss to a one-loss Indiana. Georgia has losses on their schedule that are worse than Ohio State. Like, Tennessee, same way. Like, I think the question becomes, if you're going to say, hey, you can't just auto-lit a one-loss fourth-best team in the Big Ten in, you better not be auto-litting in the fourth-best SEC team that's carrying two L's.
I think this is going to be a really good question, and we'll continue circle of trust here. This is going to be a good question to me that the committee has to establish. Is it more important of who you beat or how many losses you have? Because college football our entire life has been solely how many losses do you have? Do you have zero or one loss? We don't necessarily care about who the wins are against. We care how many losses you have in that column. Where I thought the purpose of the college football playoff and expanding it was to include teams like Ole Miss. Ole Miss beat Georgia by 18 earlier this year. There was a time that people thought Georgia was the best team in the country. And we're not talking about they beat Georgia early on in the year. They beat Georgia like this last week. They beat them 28-10. That's the worst loss that Georgia's had in 5 years. We're talking about a team that went on the road and beat South Carolina 27-3, where South Carolina's playing like one of the hottest teams in the SEC. So that's where I think the committee is going to have to give us a very clear picture. Is the criteria who you've beaten? Because if you were playing the who you've beaten game, Ole Miss has a more impressive resume than Indiana. But Ole Miss has losses on their schedule where Indiana doesn't have losses on their schedule. But Indiana hasn't done anything nearly as impressive as going on the road and beating South Carolina or beating Georgia earlier this year. So I would be inclined to let Ole Miss in. If we are expanding this thing to try to figure out who the 12 best teams are, I think that Ole Miss has challenged themselves. I think they have played a schedule. I think they have won the games necessary for their inclusion into the tournament.
That's probably fair. The whole resume does matter. And you're right. I was excluding the lack of quality wins on Indiana's schedule. But I still think, and maybe this is the old school college football BCS person that I grew up in that era, I still feel like you have to reward only having one loss ahead of having two losses. I know the committee just last year did the opposite of this. They put a team with losses in over a team that didn't have losses. And the 4-team playoff, Florida State was on the outside looking in for Bama to get in. So maybe I just haven't adapted to the committee mindset yet. But for me, I know wins matter, but winning is winning. And if you're going to take multiple losses, that has to carry a punishment. And I also think what frustrates me about this conversation is that the SEC buoys that it has the toughest strength of schedule. A lot of that is buoyed by the fact that the bottom of the SEC really stinks. And we never talk about that, but The bottom of the conference is bad. Man, Mississippi State is trash.
I agree. I'd also
Arkansas's bad too.
I would also argue that the bottom of the Big Ten is bad, and Indiana's played six of the bottom teams. Indiana has literally played the worst six teams in the Big Ten, and that is six of their nine conference wins that they have so far. They have gotten very and happy off the bad teams here. Someone on the text line says that someone says SEC Dot is in full media mode today. Not at all. But I think what is going to be a challenge for teams that are not in the Big Ten and not in the SEC is, let's say you're a team like Indiana. Now, Indiana just never thought they were going to be in the position where this year they were going to go to the college football playoff. If you're a team that you think you got a chance to go to the college football playoff and you're not in one of those conferences or you're not one of those brands, you need to play a great non-con game and you need to win. That's what you need to do.
I think you can lose. I think if you play in the game, because someone on the text line says Indiana preseason strength of schedule is 103. If they had played Colorado, I'll pick a team in a good conference. Their strength of schedule is what, in the 70s? Then at 11-1, 10-2, it maybe changes the conversation.
That's where, to me, I think so much of the argument becomes sort of a schedule roulette. And do you play the right teams in your conference for a schedule? And it's also a brand recognition thing. Like, Texas is still being treated like one of the marquee teams in college football, even though Texas this year has done absolutely nothing for us to consider them to be one of the marquee teams in college football. Like, we can play the game with Indiana. I think it's a very fair game to play. We can go through the wins that Texas has in the SEC, and they don't have many good ones either. Now, Texas thought that Michigan was going to be good. They went on the road to play Michigan. Now, Michigan ended up falling apart. So Texas tried to play one of those games this year. Michigan just ended up being way worse than we thought they were going to be. But I mean, these are their wins this year. Colorado State, Michigan, they play Texas, San Antonio, Louisiana, Monroe, Mississippi State. Oklahoma's bad this year. They got dominated by Georgia earlier this season, Vanderbilt, Florida, and Arkansas. Texas has done absolutely nothing to have a three by their name other than be good last year. So the same argument that I'm using for Indiana, you also could turn around and you could hang Texas with the exact same rope because their schedule, their resume is also not very impressive, and Texas is a lock to make the college football playoff.
Let's apply that logic. Let's turn around and use that same rope you're using to hang Indiana to attack a different team that's in right now. A team that has one loss. If you're going to bump Indiana out, if they lose this weekend to Ohio State, which I think we all kind of think they will, you have to run Notre Dame out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Notre Dame's about to beat ranked Army this weekend at a neutral site. They're playing at Yankee Stadium. I mean, that's going to be mostly Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame's schedule features a win at A&M. That's it. And they've taken a loss at home against Illinois. It's not even good. So if we're going to play this game with Indiana, hey, it's all soft wins, it's all nothingness, but they're going to just cakewalk to 11-1. We better have that same energy for a known brand in Notre Dame. Just because they're the Golden Dome doesn't mean they get away with, oh, we thumped Virginia. Who cares? That's the same thing that Indiana can say about thumping Washington.
Are you putting Georgia inside your circle of trust?
Yes. They're inside the circle of trust. I would put them in ahead of Bama. So, yes.
There's something about this Georgia team I don't like this year.
I don't like Georgia, but it feels like the team that went out and beat Texas can beat any team in the country. And I think that win is a hallmark moment. So I have Georgia in, but I also wouldn't be shocked if they took a bad L in the next 2 weeks. Like, that wouldn't stun me. I mean, Georgia Tech's feisty. They could lose to Georgia Tech because when Georgia's not good, they are pretty mediocre.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll dive back into the Kansas City Chiefs. I do have a question that I want to ask you guys, food-related, coming up in just a bit. I know you guys love our food topics on the show, so I got to give you one before the end of the 4 o'clock hour. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes. He met with the media earlier today. Really quickly, let me thank our sponsor for Circle of Trust. It is brought to you by Brew Brothers at Harrah's Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mouth-watering appetizers, juicy burgers, steaks, pasta, and more. You can wash it down with also ice cold beverage and catch the game. Patrick Mahomes met with the media earlier today. The Chiefs have added a brand new wide receiver. Tyquan Thornton is his name. He used to play for the Patriots. He got fired from the Patriots, and now he's employed by the Chiefs. Here's what Mahomes said about their new wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in season. Haven't watched a ton of film on him, but just from the highlights that I have seen, I mean, a ton of big playability. Someone that is a big frame. I didn't realize how tall he was until he got in the building. I'm excited to see him on the practice field working, and I'm sure guys like Carson and them will give him chances downfield, and we'll get to see that speed. And so a lot of talent, a lot of ability, and I think it'll be good to get him worked in within the offense and see what he can do.
I'm not here to be down on the Tyquan Thornton move. You can always take these shots. I get it. It makes sense to me. We're talking about a guy that a couple of years ago, he was a second-round pick. He was in the same draft as Sky Moore, so I get it. Take a swing. Take a chance. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, I completely understand. This is the definition of a Veach special. That's what this is. This is the Veach special. He got cut from the Patriots. He's 24 years old. You can get him on the absolute cheap. You'll bring him in on the practice squad. You'll let him work. Maybe an injury happens. You bump him up. You call him up. You give him a shot. You give him an opportunity. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, you didn't spend anything to acquire the player. This is a very smart move. He's shown an ability to be a little bit of a dual threat. He's run the football successfully, hasn't really maybe been healthy, hasn't really been given an opportunity. He also was in a bad offensive system, hasn't had a good quarterback. Like, there's reasons to think that you could possibly turn things around for Tyquan Thornton. So I don't want to make it seem like this is some home run swing. It's certainly not a home run swing, but you get a guy who's 24 years old, a second round pick, he's on the practice squad. I mean, what the hey, you know? You bring him in here, if it works, cool. If it doesn't work, no one thought it was going to work either way. So a good move by the Kansas City Chiefs. I do want to play this cut for you guys. Here's Patrick Mahomes talking about the connection with Xavier Worthy. He thinks eventually things are going to break through.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen as the season's gone on that he's playing faster. He has more confidence. It's about me being on the same page as him. And, I mean, I can sit here and we can practice it all we want, but until we start doing it in the game, there's nothing much more that I can really say about it. But I'm excited for it. I believe it's going to start happening. And once it starts happening, the offense is going to really take off.
Now, this feels very similar to things that they said last year, whether it was with Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney or MVS, but you know what? I think there's two different ways you can look at this thing. You can look at this thing glass half empty or glass half full if you want to. The glass half empty perspective, I think, is pretty clear. They've been saying this now for 6 weeks about Xavier Worthy. It's not like this conversation about the Mahomes deep ball and not being on the same page with Xavier Worthy. It's not like this is a new conversation. No, it's been happening. They've been having it. So if you want to look at it that way, the evidence is right there. They've been trying this thing for a month and a half. It has not worked. They have not connected on it. But Lord knows they are not going to stop trying. They're going to continue to throw Xavier Worthy the ball. I think in this game against Carolina, you should have it mapped out that you're going to throw two of those balls to Xavier Worthy and just see what happens. Just see what happens in this game against Carolina. This is a game that gives you some margin for error. I'm not saying that you can play your F game and go in there and win. You're still playing an NFL team. Carolina's a team that's probably going to win 5 games this year. They're not the absolute worst team I've ever seen. So you can't just go in there and just blow through this game and think that it's going to work out in your favor. But there is some margin for error that you have, and you can take some chances against Carolina. One of those chances, maybe two of them, should be with Xavier Worthy. So if you want to look at the glass half empty, you can. The glass half full is, man, they have really been close. It doesn't appear that they're that far off. Have you been trying to work on something and you still can't figure it out, but you know you're getting a lot closer than you were? Maybe you were working on something a month ago and you had no clue what you were doing, but you feel yourself getting better. You feel yourself improving. You're getting more comfortable. And you know, if you stick with it, if you keep doing it, you're going to have that breakthrough. That's what it seems like to me with the Chiefs in their passing game. They're not that far off from Xavier Worthy. The only reason we are talking about Xavier Worthy this week was because he couldn't get his feet down. That's something that you can teach. I think it was Mike Tomlin. I think he was on the pivot like a year ago, and he said, I'm not afraid of coaching. That's how I feel about Xavier Worthy. You got Andy Reid. You got DeAndre Hopkins. You got skill position coaches. Coach him. Helping him with the sideline and helping his field awareness, that just takes time and experience. He's 21 years old. If the Chiefs could simply fix that, if that's the one thing they fix between now and the end of the season, maybe they don't get the perfect connection down the field with Patrick Mahomes. If they could just work on Xavier Worthy's field awareness and keeping his feet in bounds, that would be a leaps and bounds improvement for him. And you could turn a play that was an incompletion on Sunday, you could turn that into a 40-yard gain. We wouldn't be having this conversation if Xavier Worthy had 5 catches for 80 yards. That was right there on the table if he just learned how to keep his feet in bounds. So I'm not giving up on Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs are certainly not giving up on Xavier Worthy. I do think they are close to being able to figure this thing out. And you still got 7 games in the regular season to try to build that connection as you get ready for the postseason. Coming up on the other side, I got a food question to ask you guys. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, I got a question to ask you guys. This is an important question. We're talking about this because McDonald's is bringing back the McRib. And they're not just bringing back the McRib for the holiday season. They're also selling a gallon of the barbecue sauce that they put on the McRib. So let's say that we did a McDonald's draft. You guys have heard us do drafts before. We did one last week for Denzel Washington. And let's say that you had the number 2 overall pick. Strong pick, right? There's a lot of things on McDonald's menu. Tried and true. Well, we know what number 1 is. It's McDonald's fries. I don't want to hear you arguing it. Yes, McDonald's fries is the best thing that's on the menu. When they're hot and they just come out of the grease and you see those things glistening and all oiled up and ready to go, oh my goodness. There's not anything in fast food better than hot, fresh McDonald's fries. But you got the number 2 pick, so McDonald's fries are off the board. Rob, what's the number 2 overall pick in the McDonald's draft? Because you can go in just about any direction. You can go breakfast if you want to. You could go dessert if you want to. You could get a cheeseburger. You could go McNuggets. There's a bunch of different directions you can go with the number 2 overall pick, and I'm not really sure if there is a wrong answer, per se, in the McDonald's draft. What do you think is the number 2 overall pick?
So, I agree with you. There's a lot of good options. I think my number 2 pick would be the hash browns. I don't know what it is about McDonald's. They just do fried potatoes better than anyone in the fast food game. Their fries are, as you said, immaculate. But in the morning, one of the main reasons people love McDonald's breakfast is their hash browns are light years better than everyone else's hash browns. Like, noticeably better than everyone else's hash browns. Burger King, Jack in the Box, pick a place. Their hash browns are worse than McDonald's. So if I had the 2nd overall pick in the draft, I'm going with hash browns.
I think the number 2 thing on the list is the Quarter Pounder. I think it's the best burger that they have. Now, again, you can go in a lot of different directions. Like, if you told me number 2 is the McGriddle, I'm not going to fight you. The McGriddle, I don't know what took them so long to come up with it, but it is the perfect combination of everything. It's sweet, but not too sweet. You get a little bit of meat. You get some cheese. It's phenomenal. I don't know what they were doing when they invented the McGriddle, but I'm telling you, chef's kiss. I wouldn't fight you on the hash brown. That wouldn't be my number 2 overall pick, but the hash brown is pretty good. The hash brown's solid, and you're right. They have figured out how to fry a potato. Ronald McDonald, he really outdid himself. I'm going to give you a sleeper pick, though. The Sprite. There's other
just
places.
Just Sprite or any fountain drink?
Their Sprite.
Okay.
And you also Coca-Cola. I don't drink Coca-Cola. You know me. I'm not really a dark soda individual, but it's something about that Sprite. I don't know what they put in there. It's some kind of battery acid. It's different than the Sprite everywhere else. You can get a better burger from another fast food place. You can get a breakfast sandwich from somewhere else. There's not another place in the world that sells their Sprite. Now, I know people have told me that there's something with the oxygen or something. Well, then why aren't all the other stores doing it then? Because Taco Bell's Sprite doesn't taste like that. Burger King's Sprite doesn't taste like that. That is only exclusive at McDonald's. So if you told me that, let's say you are a Coca-Cola drinker and you want a large Coke, light ice, and that was the number two overall pick, I'm not going to fight you hard on the McDonald's menu. I know we all like to get our jokes off about McDonald's. They have by far and away the deepest menu of any of the fast food restaurants.
I'm going to say, if we were to do this, like we're going to invite Spec in and do like we did the Denzel draft, we could go 7-8 rounds deep because like the snack wrap, you're telling me that there's a world where the snack wrap doesn't get picked? That's not good enough. McDonald's might not have the highest ceiling of any of the fast food places because there are places when it's good, it's better than McDonald's. But their floor is just, it's, you rarely walk out of McDonald's and be like, boy, it was not an enjoyable experience. McDonald's just thing after thing after thing just hits different.
No, I'm 100% with you. We're asking this question, 913-586-7965. So McDonald's, they have announced that they are bringing back the McRib. It's going to be a holiday exclusive. So if you want to go to McDonald's here over the holidays and you want to grab you some food, be sure to go stop by your local McDonald's. And I was wondering that, you know, if you have the number two overall pick and the fries are off the board, what would the number two overall pick be? I said quarter pounder with cheese, and Rob is taking the breakfast hash brown. That is the direction that he is going. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up in just a bit, but I guess this is Chiefs adjacent in a way. Let's take a look at the standings right now in the AFC, Rob, in the playoff picture. Are the playoffs done in the AFC? Like, do we know the teams already? Because the NFC playoff picture is still very much up for grabs. Like, one of the divisions, I have no clue who's going to win the NFC West. Nobody knows who's going to win the NFC West. But do we already know who the playoff teams are? Kansas City is a lock. Buffalo is a lock. Pittsburgh is a lock. Houston is a lock in their division. Baltimore is going to make the playoffs. Now, I know you guys are going to call me Chargers dot. The Chargers are making the postseason. Like, I don't know how you can see how they've played this season and know that they have New England and the Raiders left on their schedule and not think that the Chargers at least get to 9 wins. I think there's a chance that they could win 11 games, but at a minimum, they are 7-3 right now. They are going 9-8, 10-7. So I think the Chargers have to be considered a lock to make the postseason. It would take a pretty big collapse from them down the stretch to outright miss the postseason. And so that's 6 teams that I think are for sure in the playoffs in the AFC. And the 7th seed is between Denver, Indianapolis, and Miami. I don't think the Bengals are a realistic playoff team. I think they're done. Do we already know all 7 of the playoff teams? And is Denver going to be able to hold off those other teams? Because I think Denver has proven that they're a pretty good football team. What they did to the Falcons was pretty impressive this week. They dominated the Falcons. Now, I get it. Some of you didn't watch it. It was on the exact same time as the Chiefs game. Maybe you don't have a multiple TV setup, but they beat the Falcons 38-6. They should have beat Kansas City the week before. I think that Denver the last couple of weeks have proven that they are one of the better teams. And now their schedule is going to lighten up. They got Vegas, Cleveland, and Indianapolis the next 3 weeks. And oddly enough, they play the teams that are directly behind them in the playoff race. Indianapolis is right behind them in the playoff race. The Chargers are directly right in front of them. And they also play Cincinnati later on in the year. Denver is going to have their opportunity to earn their way into the postseason. And with their defense and their coaching staff, I don't know if that's the 6th seed that you want to play. Like, if you're Houston or if you're Baltimore in round one, I don't know if you want to play Denver in the postseason. With that defense, I think Denver could be a problem for somebody.
I don't want to cop out of your question because I think it's a good one about the AFC playoff picture. Can I say that I think 6 are locked, but I want to see what happens with Anthony Richardson before I lock the Denver Broncos in?
Well, he's probably going to be hurt. So,
I mean, that's a safe bet, or he'll just take himself out of the game. You know, he loves to just quit mid-game. But he looked like the player we kind of thought he was going to look like, or at least a version of that player on Sunday against the Jets. And if the Colts get competent quarterback play, they're an interesting team going forward. So I'll wait and say we're down to just one slot. But I think it's a two-team race. I think it's Denver versus Indianapolis coming on the stretch, because the same way you've ruled out Cincinnati is kind of what I've done to Miami. I'm sorry. Miami's out.
Yeah, I also think that in the NFC we might be done too with six of the seven teams. Like, Washington right now has the 7 seed, and they're 7-4. Now, those other teams, the Rams, Seahawks, and Niners, their pathway is probably more toward the division than being able to grab one of those wild card spots. Maybe they grab those. I mean, we could be in a spot that heading into Thanksgiving, 12 of the 14 spots in the playoffs are already locked up, and we are only talking about jockeying for position, who gets the bye, who goes where, but I don't really think there's going to be a lot of movement between the 7, 8, or 9 seeds. I think those teams have kind of separated themselves and have clearly shown that they're the best teams in their respective conferences. Coming up at the top of the hour, I have a hot take that I want to share with you guys about the Chiefs, and we'll get to the hits. Keep it right here, so drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.